Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. I have Hamza filling in for Qasim today. And our guest today is Aaron. So Aaron, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure, sounds good. Yeah, so my name is Aaron Mashvitz. Sorry for the sniffles, but we'll work through it anyways. But yeah, my name is Aaron Mashvitz. I live in Dallas, Texas. And what I do for a living, well, I'm a podcaster. I coach in baseball and in mental skills. And I'm a public speaker, and I own and operate a mental health nonprofit called You Are Loved. So that's the elevator pitch for what I do.
Awesome. So how do you manage your time doing all these different things?
That's an interesting question. I make a to-do list for sure. I work on what's most important and hardest first, and then work my way down from there. I try to plan ahead. I have a lot of stuff that's automated now that I've sort of been doing this work for a few years. But things like that help me manage my time. But I'm more worried about managing my energy more than I'm managing my time. Because if I have enough energy, then everything can get done. So if I'm eating right, moving well, you know, sleeping well, things like that, then I feel like, you know, working long hours or working harder or running all of these businesses by myself, it's much easier if I'm thinking about managing my energy more than managing my time. But I think it goes sort of both ways. They have a little bit of harmony between the two. When can I work on my most important, hardest task? How long will that take? What sort of time do I need to allocate to that? How much will that drain my energy? Is it something really important, big? Does it take a lot of energy out of me? What will I have the rest of the day? And sort of thinking about it in that context so I can, you know, get the things done that I need to get done. And then, you know, making appropriate rest. I'm a little sick now, so I think my body's telling me that I probably should rest a little bit more than I do, but, you know, it is what it is, or at least that's what my fiance said. So,
well, you mentioned that, you know, many things are automated right now. So are you using artificial intelligence to automate these? Like, how do you automate these processes?
Most of that, yeah, social media stuff. So I batch all my content, usually Monday mornings is when I sort of plan my content for the whole week, whether that be on all of these sites now have like stuff where you can schedule it. I use Canva. I use Typefully. Facebook has their business site. I use a little bit of Zapier. So just like, yeah, allowing that to, so I don't have to spend a lot of time on social media. One, very important, but being able to sort of batch my content throughout the whole week. So like I can leverage my time to do other stuff. To speak to people, to send emails, to have podcasts, to have conversations, whatever the case may be. So trying to do that, and then slowly but surely trying to hire some people to do a little bit of work, some admin stuff, things that you know, I've been doing for a long time, but maybe don't have to do anymore so much. So trying to leverage that as well. So it's been a process because, you know, like most of us, I got no idea what I'm fucking doing. So, you know, flying by the seat of my pants, trying to figure it out, making mistakes and, you know, falling down, trying to get back up and regroup and all that stuff. And so it's a cool process because I, you know, didn't see myself in this position doing these things, you know, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So it's pretty cool to see that evolution in myself and the things that I've learned. Like, it's pretty cool. Like anyone listening could probably figure out anything really, if they spend enough time doing it, right? We usually deliberate with like the choice of doing something more than actually just starting to do the thing. And if you start doing the thing without like hesitation or it's the perfect time or is it the right thing or do I know enough or all this, you just start doing the thing. And then over time you start to learn, okay, here's my adjustment here. Here's where I can execute a little bit better, you know, things like that. And I think that process of, you know, learning and reviewing and executing is fun. And I learned that through sports, definitely.
So you mentioned that you were looking at hiring some people to do some admin tasks. So if you're going to hire someone, like what specifically could they help you out with?
Mostly for my nonprofit is where, you know, the work that I need done mostly, like trying to get people to donate. I've had quite a big challenge with that. So finding the right people, you know, using the right messaging to share my story, why I started the nonprofit, you know, what specifically their money is going towards, sort of answering those emails, sending out tax receipts and things like that. And then actually creating the social media content, because I just do it all by myself at this point. So maybe, you know, I'm looking for something like that and things like that. But I've generally gone to Fiverr for some of these, from some of this stuff. And that's an incredible website. If anyone's ever used it, like, the best, smartest independent contractors are on there doing just incredible work. So that's where I found most of my employees, or people who just independently work for me. But yeah, a lot of that stuff, sort of back end material. I'd also like some people who maybe know a little bit more about websites and stuff, and how I can create a better user experience on the websites that I do have and things like that. So just, you know, general stuff like that.
So, and what's the role of technology in your business?
Yeah, it plays a role, obviously, right? Just like all of our businesses now. I mean, that's where we're headed. You know, I have websites, I have social media. So it plays a role, right, in trying to figure that stuff out and trying to reach the largest audience that I can possibly reach, right? That's what technology is. But it really, it's still, all businesses, I think, still come down to the personal relationship, like this right here. Like, how can I speak to someone in a way where, you know, my story or my energy or my vibe, you know, resonates with them, so they're willing to check out the things that I've created, maybe on a website or a technology or a social media, or sort of maybe works the other way around as well. I think it's potentially true too. Like, they resonate with something that I'm creating on the internet, and now they want to have a conversation, or they want to be on the podcast, or want to ask me to be on their podcast, or things like that. So I think it plays a huge role. But I think now, with all of the technology getting so advanced, and really, really smart people, way smarter than me, creating stuff that I can't even grasp or handle as fast as it's being made, I think that if we can really tune in more to the personal relationships that we have with people, and that's how businesses are really run, and I think that's more important moving forward. If we can create those real genuine connections as to why we're doing the thing we're doing based on that, I think that's important. And then have some emotional parameters that we put on around our technology use. Like, when do we shut down? When do we stop using it? How do we use it? Why do we use it? Does it make us feel good? Does it make us feel like shit? If it's making us feel like shit, how can we alter our usage of it? How can we automate things? How can we make our social media less attractive for us, so we're not scrolling all day? Why are we on social media? Is there a point? Is it benefiting us? Is there a net positive? Like, all of these things, because, you know, technology is not going away anytime soon. So we can't have that sort of naive approach to life. Like, oh, it'll just go away soon. It's not going away. It's only getting faster. It's only getting better. It's only manipulating us a little bit more. So how can we start to, you know, navigate it better, and then create personal connections based on what was supposed to be social connection, based on social media? And how can we take those connections into real life, have conversations, you know, be with people, create groups and communities, you know, of sort of that, you know, in that mind frame. So that's what I think about.
So how you got an idea to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, being an entrepreneur is tough, man. You know, it's tough. I never saw myself as one until I realized that I was one. Because I used to be a professional wrestler. I don't know if you know what that is, but like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, things like that. And so I used to be that. I retired a little over a year ago. And when I got into wrestling, I didn't realize that that was like a one person business, you know, because I was like, oh, I'll just start wrestling and then, you know, I'll make it to WWE. Then I'll be on WrestleMania and everything will be just fine. And well, I was not what happened. And so, yeah, I had to sort of create my own business. I created a name. I was Jackson Stone. Okay, now I got to create a website and sell my own merchandise and print my own merchandise. And I got to get myself to and from shows, and I got to market myself, and I got to budget out my expenses for food and hotels. And okay, maybe I'm getting my transportation covered. And then so on the job training on how to be an entrepreneur based on my choice of profession, which is being a professional wrestler. And so little did I know that was going to help me, you know, in my current position or current jobs. So I think there's a lot of stuff in our culture now that like sort of fantasizes or romanticizes the idea of being an entrepreneur. Like, don't work your 9-to-5. It's stupid and it's dumb. Like, that's not true. Like, there's a ton of people I know who like really like their 9-to-5. who are like, yeah, this is a good job. I enjoy doing this work. I know I get vacation time. I don't have to check my email once 5 o'clock hits. Like, it's all good. Like, if you like that, like, fantastic. My fiance likes her job. She gets to work remote. She works with good people. And she doesn't have any extra work if she doesn't want to do it, right? And then I'm on the other side. I can work till 3 or 4 in the morning. Probably shouldn't. Not a good idea. But it, like, it's there. And no one else is going to do it unless I'm doing it. Now, another side of being an entrepreneur is that it's like this unbelievable purpose and fulfillment and passion you feel for the thing you're doing. So for me, most of the time, it doesn't feel like work per se, because like, this is what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. But it's not all like sunshine and rainbows. Like, at the beginning of your entrepreneurial career, you're probably not going to know, like, it's hard to predict how much money you might make. And that's interesting in case you have a family or you have a lot of bills. Everyone has bills, but, you know, all that stuff. And so I don't try to push anyone into the entrepreneurial realm, but I do try and encourage people to find what really gets their heart going and what makes their soul light up. And if there's a way for you to do that, great. But it's not about just ultimately, you know, quitting your job tomorrow and then, like, you know, whatever. Like, maybe if you hate your job, that's a totally different story. Like, that's a separate conversation. Then, yeah, let's make a plan for you to try and figure out what your purpose actually is. How can you move forward with that? How can you, do whatever you could do to try and maybe build something on your own or find a new job or a better job or make a lateral move or whatever the case may be is. But being an entrepreneur is hard. Like, but I don't shy away from hard things. Like, I like doing the hard things. And now, sort of a few years into this journey, I've built a little bit of steam and things like that. But, you know, things still don't get done unless I do them. So that's like, I can work on a Saturday, I'll work on a Sunday, you know, but then it's about, again, like I mentioned earlier with social media, like, how can I create some boundaries? Okay, at 6 o'clock, I want to be done today so that I can spend time with my fiance or hang out with my friends, or, okay, now we're going on a vacation. All right, how can I plan ahead to not have to work on this vacation? I only have to work a couple hours here, here, and here just to get the things I need to get done. And then I'm fully in sort of deep love, deep vacation, being present sort of mode. And so there's a lot of factors that go into that. And so, but one, if you have like this gut sort of visceral instinct that this one thing, you know, is your one thing, then you got to do something about it. You can't ignore that, because then, you know, when you're laying down and you have taken your last few breaths, you're going to be like, fuck, I should have done that thing. And you don't want that regret, right? There's the regret of not trying is much bigger than the regret of missing the shot itself. If you have that feeling in your body, you got to go for it. And if you fall down, so what? Like, if you fall down 100 times and you still get back up, that's awesome. But at least you tried, you gave it everything you had. And then again, when you're taking your last few breaths, you're like, yeah, I'm good with that. I went for it. I'm proud of myself, you know, no matter how it turns out. I think that's really important. But don't let the internet force you into being an entrepreneur when you actually enjoy the job that you have, the hours that you have. Like, don't let other people who don't know you in your life make you do something that you don't want to do, right? It's your decision. It's your life. You have to figure out what's best for you and your path, and then move in that space. So I think that's important when it comes to being an entrepreneur.
And so you mentioned that you were a pro wrestler. So how did this come about? Is this something that you always wanted to do, or just by chance? Like, did you wrestle in college and you just got an offer? Like, what was that process like for you?
Well, my first love was baseball. I love baseball, still love baseball. And then when I was about 13, I was scrolling through the TV, watching some whatever, and there it is. WWE came on the television. And as a 13-year-old boy, I was like, wow, what is this? I was super into, like, superheroes. I think, like, all young boys are. I was super into sports, and, like, I was, like, super into, like, theater. And so then I watched this thing on TV, and I felt like it was, like, the combination of all three. They're like these big jack dudes, like running around, jumping, flipping, moving, fighting. And they were doing interviews after the match, and they were like a little talking a little smack, but it was also like cool at the same time. And so I watched it for the first time for like an hour and a half, and immediately went downstairs, told my parents that if I'm not going to be a professional baseball player, I'm definitely going to be a professional wrestler. So that's the sort of those two dreams sort of remained true through my early 20s. I played baseball in college, was fortunate enough to get a scholarship. And then I sort of had to make a decision. Did I want to go in the route of playing minor league baseball in that really hard route, or did I want to start my professional wrestling career? And I decided that I was good with baseball. I loved my career, happened in a perfect way. That's when I moved home, back to Dallas. I went to college in South Dakota, moved back home. Yeah, found a wrestling school. Didn't know those existed. Sort of like any other school, like an acting school or whatever, but it was a wrestling school outside of Dallas in the city called Bedford, Texas. And yeah, I trained for like 6 months on how to do the moves and all of this stuff. And then, yeah, adopted the name Jackson Stone, and then just started traveling around locally. And then things started to pick up for me. It became my full-time job, traveled all the way to Europe and all those things, and moved out to Philadelphia and all sorts of cool stuff like that. But yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I'm extremely, extremely lucky to be able to have lived out my first dream of being a baseball player, and extremely lucky to be able to have lived out my other dream of being a professional wrestler. So it's like, I think about it a lot, man. Like, yeah, how lucky I am. Yeah, I know it took like work and all that stuff, but like, do you guys ever think about luck? Like how lucky you get, like how there's things that sort of like work out? Like, what, like why? Like, why did it work out for me? Like, some people aren't fortunate enough to be able to chase wonder, you know, for circumstances unbeknownst to me, right? Whether that be whatever, you know, but I was able to chase too. Maybe it's a little bit of my intrinsic work ethic or whatever, but that's also sort of luck. Like I lucked out with that too. Like, I don't know if you guys think about that, but I do.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Definitely. So, well, yeah. I'm just curious. 'Cause like, you know, pro wrestling is not an easy thing, you know, it's not easy at all. So I feel like, you know, if you could maybe talk a little bit more about like, you know, like what, as you mentioned, like there's luck involved 100%, but like you were better than a lot of people that were competing against you. So like what specifically did you do to get you to that level? Like, what was your work ethic like? Because I think many people don't understand like what kind of work ethic goes into it to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, one was like my physical condition. I started working out in the gym when I was 14 years old, and so by the time I became a professional wrestler, which is around age 22, like I had a pretty good idea, and I was in pretty good shape. Like, I was working out at, you know, 5 in the morning every day before high school, and then doing baseball practice after school, and same thing in college. And so that, you know, I'm 6'2", 230-ish pounds. So I sort of got a pretty good build. And then I knew when I got into professional wrestling that I needed to be able to sort of speak well. You know, if you look at some of my interviews that I did as a baseball player in college, they're atrocious. I couldn't even fucking speak one word. You know, it's funny to look at them now that I like host a podcast and do a bunch of this stuff. So I knew I had to become better at that. I knew I had to be able to express my emotions, whether that be verbally or on my face. And so I did a bunch of improv classes at the Dallas Comedy House. I did a bunch of theater classes to try and figure out how to emote what I was feeling. Like, in a match, you want to be able to take people on a roller coaster. Like, inside of sort of a, whether it's like a 5 to 15 minute professional wrestling match, you're sort of constructing it like a 2-hour Marvel movie, if you can visualize that. So like at the beginning of every Marvel movie, it's like intense action. They're getting you drawn, like this is like a sick fight scene. Bah, 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 bah. Same thing with a pro wrestling match, because you're drawing everyone in. And then there's sort of this point at the middle where sort of the bad guy takes over and he's sort of beating the good guys up, and you're kind of thinking to yourself like, oh, is the bad guy actually gonna win? And you're like, damn, he's really kicking the shit out of my hero here. And then you have that, so people get drawn into the match or into the movie, and at the end you sort of have your climax where you have these final big moves and whatever, and then usually the good guy wins. So that's sort of how a professional wrestling match is constructed. And so I needed to be able to emote that, whether I was a good guy or a bad guy, that I was in charge, I was despicable, I was mean, or that I was hurt, or that I was like trying to claw my way back into the fight. And so being able to do that on the fly with improv, or being able to learn that in theater class. So I did those as sort of a prerequisite to joining professional wrestling. So I think I had a leg up in that. And then I just started working on, you know, that stuff as I got into my professional wrestling career. And then I knew I needed a character, so I developed a character, and I went full throttle, like 100% into that character, It was 100% me. And so I think that that stuff set me apart a little bit. And then, you know, I created a website, started doing my own merchandise because I wanted full profit. I know that I would have to put in a little more work because they have like t-shirt sites where you could just put your t-shirt on and get a little bit of it. But I wanted to have like full reins over my production and the quality of the shirt and things like that. And so, yeah, I did a few of those things. And then I knew I immediately didn't want to sort of stay in this sort of Texas nucleus of professional wrestling to sort of get stuck here, because this state, Texas, is massive. And so if you don't leave here, you just get stuck in the professional wrestling scene. And so I knew I wanted to travel away. And so I got to Europe really early on in my career and expanded my fan base and my horizon and things like that. And so those are just a few things that I did like early in my career to sort of set me apart to allow professional wrestling to be my full-time job. Not at the beginning. At the beginning, I was like, you know, sleeping in my car and barely making it to shows and things like that, trying to make it work. That's what you do when you just, you know, you feel love for something. But yeah, that's just, I think those few things. I haven't thought about that in a while. So thanks for asking.
Oh, and have you ever got nervous performing in front of a large crowd as a wrestler?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think nerves are good. It just depends on what you do with them that like are going to dictate your performance, right? If my nerves are saying, like, I feel nervous, okay, just means that something, I'm about to do something important, right? And then on the back end of those nerves, I'm like, oh shit, fuck, I suck. This is going to go terrible. Yeah, then your nerves are going to hinder your performance. But if you feel those nerves as you're preparing, you're like, okay, I feel them. And you just say to yourself, I'm excited. Like, obviously I'm excited. I'm about to go wrestle in front of 1,000 people in the middle of Germany. Wow, that's awesome. Like, not catastrophizing, thinking about worst case scenario, but saying, I'm just excited to enter this arena and put on this performance. And so nerves should always be like, always. Like, if you don't feel nervous, you're probably not doing something that you care about, or you've numbed yourself out so much that you just don't feel regular human emotions anymore. And both of those things are not good. So you want to feel nervous, butterflies in your stomach, you know, maybe you're going on a first date, or you're about to do a speaking engagement, you're about to go on a podcast, or you're about to just, you know, walk into a room where you don't know anyone, but you're trying to meet new people, right? Yeah, you feel nervous. Like, this thing is important to you. You're about to walk into something that means something. And so what you say to yourself in that moment is extremely important, right? You can say, I'm excited. Bring it on. I'm excited. Because we get into nerves when we feel anxious about something. Those are high arousal states. And so what most people think is they want to take these high arousal states and go into low arousal. That's not really possible. Like, in that instant, right? Of course, you can get to low arousal with some deep breathing and mindfulness practices, but you want to stay in high arousal when you're doing these things that's important. So you can frame it in a, okay, this high arousal is like debilitating, but how can I reframe it into high arousal that is going to make me perform better or at my best and use all of the energy I have? And simply how you talk to yourself in that moment, I think, is the most important thing. Like, I tell that to all my young athletes all the time, right? They're about to hit in the last inning of the game, down one run with a winning run on second base. Yeah, you're definitely nervous. What if you strike out? What if you strike out and the team loses the game? That's a possibility, right? But you have to be willing to strike out in the same batter's box that you're going to hit the game-winning home run. Those two things, they have to exist, right? It's the same thing as like saying, you know, you can't have love without risking heartbreak, right? You have to go for it. And you're going to feel nervous in all of those environments. But if you're saying to yourself, I'm excited for this moment, like, not thinking about the result, not attached to the outcome, just like walking in, saying, I'm excited, bring it on, give me your best, here's my best, and whatever happens, happens. And then after the fact, when the thing is over, like, you had a speaking engagement, you had a wrestling match, you had a baseball game, then you review, okay, what could I have done to prepare better? Was my process good? You know, then you start to think about those type of things after the fact that it's over. Then you reflect, you reiterate, and then you try and execute your process a little bit better. But in the moment, yeah, you got to be, I'm excited, you know, bring it on. Because nerves are a beautiful thing. So yeah, to answer your question in a long-winded way, yes, I got nervous, but it was because I loved it and I was excited for the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like in sports in general, it's a very common thing. And people are getting nervous. I mean, it's just, to your point, you step up to the batter's box with two outs in the ninth inning. It's just a very common thing where people are getting nervous. So Just to wrap, do you mind sharing, like, if somebody wanted to reach out to you watching this, what's the best way to get in contact with you or to find your company?
Yeah, I mean, I'm Aaron Mashbits on all social media. So pretty easy to find. Not a lot of Mashbits is out there. So you just search Mashbits and my name will pop up. If you're feeling a little froggy, you can also search Jackson Stone. I'm sure there's some weird professional wrestling matches and pictures that will pop up, but I don't have much of that stuff anymore. But yeah, Aaron Mashbits under everything. And AaronMashbits.com will have all the links to sort of my other businesses, whether that be the nonprofit, whether that be the coaching, all of that stuff. So yeah, pretty easy to find. I'm all over the internet. So yeah, cheers.
Awesome, Aaron. Thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye, Aaron.